Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We now stand ready for your word. Father, we pray that as your word goes forth, it will find fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, that we would hear and in hearing would make a commitment to be a doer of your word so that we can live out the truths that are deposited within us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all of God's people say, amen. So I think all of us have been out in public at one time or another and seen that well-meaning parent talking to that little child, asking that child to do something, and that child would boldly holler out, no. How many of y'all have seen that happen, right? And I'm thinking to myself, boy, you better be glad that your mama's not my mama, right? Like, come on over here, little Johnny. No. Johnny, come sit down. No. And you'd be like, ooh, I just jump when I think about what would have happened to me, right? Parent tells a child to get ready for bed. No. Get to that age, them terrible twos are there about, right? When no becomes a regular part of their vocabulary. And you know what each child has in common that gets to that point when they start saying no to their parents besides a pop-pop? Each one of those children is exercising what psychologists call their counter will. Yeah, I didn't even know that was a real thing. It's called counter will. It's something that is evident in children as they begin to exercise their need for independence. It's a way for them to begin to try to control their environment. It's part of their developmental process. Now, hopefully they don't stay there too long for their own sake, right? But it's part of growing up. It's helping them to see themselves as an individual in the world. The two groups that really experience this counter will more than any other groups are preschoolers and teenagers. They get to that place in life when they want to assert their independence. They want to test boundaries. They want to express their frustrations. They want to communicate their developing sense of self. They want the people around them to know that they exist as individuals in the world. And they do that by saying no. Now, what I learned is one of the primary reasons that a counter will is expressed is the need for control. That whether it is a toddler or a teenager, they come to a place where they're trying to say to the world, you're not going to control me. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder how many of us have a counter will problem when it comes to God. How many of us are so determined that we're going to control ourselves that we live in a way that keeps us from allowing God to control our lives? We don't want to submit to God. We don't want to say yes to God, so we say it either out loud or we say it within our spirits. We say no to God, or as our testimony said today, even though God is wanting us to say, I will, we come with an I won't attitude. Today, for a few moments, I want to help you overcome your spiritual counter will. I want you to, in essence, exercise this ability to discipline yourself so that instead of saying no to show your independence of God, I want to encourage you to say yes so that you can show your dependence upon God. I want to talk today from the thought how to activate your yes, God. How to activate your yes, God. I want to continue the theme that we started on last week, and I want to challenge you to make this the year of yes, God. Now, for somebody, your yes, God is a step of salvation. But for somebody else, your yes, God is a step of sanctification. For somebody, it may be a yes, God to make your first step of faith in the Lord. But for somebody else, God wants you to make your next step of faith in the Lord. For somebody, you need to know the Lord. But for somebody else, you are here, you are watching, and you know the Lord as your Savior. And God is saying to you, yes, you have said yes to me for the first step, but are you willing to say yes for your best step? If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can go to our website and download the outline at goodhope.org, or you can download our church app and you can find a fill in the blank PDF version there for you to activate your yes. Our foundational text is Acts chapter 9, and we're going to begin at verse 10. Here's the first thing I want you to see if you're going to activate your yes, God. Number one, you need to make sure you hear when God is speaking to you. You need to make sure you hear when God is speaking to you. Now, our foundational text today is in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is one of the more noteworthy passages in the scripture because it chronicles the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Saul was an arch enemy of the early church. He was a persecutor of the church. He arrested people. He beat people. He killed people who professed Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And the apostle Saul is making his way to Damascus. He's already gotten letters authorizing him to continue his persecution of the church. Now, this Saul is the one that we would know later as Paul. But here's what I need you to focus in on today. We're going to talk about Saul's story, but we're going to talk about the person who said yes to God to be used by God so that Saul would eventually change his life to being Paul. It's a gentleman by the name of Ananias. Ananias, the Bible says, is a believer in Damascus. He's a believer in Damascus. Now remember, Jesus has had his encounter with Saul on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says that God strikes him. He falls to the ground. He loses his eyesight. He is led by those who were his companions to Damascus. 3 days he is blind, doesn't eat, doesn't drink. He is praying, and God hears his prayers. And here's what God says: I need somebody to go and, in essence, disciple Saul. There's a Paul in Saul, but the Paul can't come out until somebody goes to disciple him. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. We're not told that he's an apostle. We're not told that he's a preacher. We're not told he's a deacon. All we know is that he is a believer. He's a regular old church member. And the Bible says that as a believer, the Lord spoke to him in a vision calling Ananias. And Ananias says, yes, Lord. My brothers and sisters, before you can activate your yes, God, you have to make sure you hear when God is speaking to you. See, too many of us hear, but we don't necessarily hear God. We hear a bunch of other stuff. And there's a bunch of stuff that we hear that we attribute to God that God has nothing to do with. Come on, y'all looking at me strange. Have you ever listened to somebody talk and they try to tell you God says something and you like, oh no, I know God ain't told you that. God ain't got nothing to do with that. That's crazy right there. That ain't got no, ain't nothing about spiritual about what you just said, right? But because people see themselves as being more spiritual than they really are, they think whatever they come up with, it must have come from God. The text says, Saul needs a maturing believer to disciple him. Saul needs somebody to help him grow in his relationship with God. So who does God send to minister to Saul? Who would God send to disciple this new convert? And the text says, Ananias heard God and said yes to God. When God called him, he knew the voice of God and he answered and said yes to the God. That's the challenge facing us today. The question is not whether or not God is speaking. The question is, are we hearing what God is saying? See, the only way we can help people who need Jesus to know Jesus and help people who know Jesus to grow in Jesus is to make ourselves available and to hear what God is calling us to do. So my question today is, are you prepared to hear God so you can say yes to God? Because you can't say yes if you're not prepared to hear him. Look at Genesis 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Isaiah 6, verse 8, the New Living Translation says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am. Send me. First thing you've got to do if you're going to activate your yes is hear when God is speaking to you. Here's the second thing, it's right here in the text. Number two, you need to make sure you go where God wants you to go. If you're going to activate your yes, you need to go where God wants you to go. Now listen to me carefully, because there are some of you who are hearing God, but you're not moving yet. I remember when my father told me on one occasion, I'm laying on the couch, I'm watching the game. He said, hey, man, take out the trash. And I said, okay. And then he walked away and I kept on laying there watching the game. And then he came back through. He said, hey, did you hear me say take out the trash? I said, yes, sir, I heard you. And he looked at me like, well, obviously you didn't hear me. Because I didn't say take out the trash when you get time or when you get around to it. I said, take out the trash now. Because when I heard him, he wanted me to act on what he was saying, right? It's not enough for you to hear God if you're not going to act on what God is saying. Here's what the text says. Look at verse 11, Acts chapter 9. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, as for a man from Tarsus named Saul, he is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. God says, in order for me to do what I want to do in the life of Saul, I need somebody who's willing to make themselves available and obey me so they can become the answer to Saul's prayer. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park there for a second. Because I don't believe enough of us realize that God wants to use you to be the answer to somebody's prayer. Y'all, somebody was used by God to answer your prayer. And God says, I want to use you to be the answer to somebody's prayer, but I can't do it until you say yes to what I'm calling you to do. Saul is this new convert. Man, he has this desire. He needs help from God. He is praying, and he's given a vision by God that help is on the way in this person called or named Ananias. Ananias is being sent to help him grow and to know the Lord's will for himself. Are you willing to be the answer to somebody's prayer? Can I go one step further? Somebody under the sound of my voice right now, somebody who's watching, God wants to use you to be the answer to somebody's prayer that they haven't had sense enough to pray yet. They don't even know they need you. And they won't know until you hear God and go the way God has called you to go. Matter of fact, let me go one step further for somebody under the sound of my voice. God has already told you to go. You said yes to the hearing. You just haven't said yes to the going. And God can't bless you in the going until you start going. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 2. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields. Guess who the workers are? You. You. There's no shortage of sinners in the world. Southern Baptist Convention did a study some 10 years ago. Said if every church in Houston, Harris County was filled to capacity, there'd still be 3 to 4 million people who couldn't get in. God says, I need you to hear me, and then I need you to go. I need you, listen carefully, to take the initiative to go to where people are who need me instead of requiring them to come to where you are. That's why we stop talking about having church. That's why we stop talking about coming to church. That's why we stop talking about going to church and we focus on being church. Being salt and being light wherever God calls us to go and wherever we find ourselves. Because people in darkness need light where they are. Here's the third thing. Number three. You need to make sure you do what God tells you to do. If you're going to activate your yes, God, you've got to hear when God is speaking to you. You've got to go where God wants you to go. Thirdly, you've got to do what God tells you to do. Look at verse 13. But Lord, circle that phrase, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. Ananias says, God, I hear what you're telling me to do, but I need to let you know this brother got a rep. I don't even know. He may be faking this salvation thing because, you know, he's trying to find Christians. He's killing men and women who are naming the name of Jesus Christ. But notice God's response. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said, underline that. Ananias said, but Lord. God says, but me. Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. Listen to me carefully. Reaching out and helping a new convert can be a challenge. Here's what I hear God saying to somebody this morning. Don't allow somebody's past to keep you from sharing God's love with them in their present. because you don't know what God will do with them in their future. Hey, man, Ananias said, man, this brother's taking folk out. Talk about Christians, Lord. I plan on going to heaven, but I ain't in a hurry to get there. You know what I mean? Like, and listen, there's somebody in here under the sound of my voice, somebody who's listening right now. You have allowed somebody's past and somebody's reputation to keep you from sharing God's love with them. And here's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to somebody. Their reputation isn't as bad as Saul's. Because even if they clown you, even if they cuss you, even if they fuss at you, they ain't killing folk like Saul was. And God says, in your saying yes, I need you to do what I've called you to do, because the only way you can help people get where God wants them to be is first share God's love with them where they are. Ananias had to obey when God told him what to do. See, Ananias knew what Saul had been and what he did wrong to the church. But God says, even though you see what Saul has done to the church, you don't see what Paul will do for the church. So don't allow seeing Saul's past to keep you from embracing what can be Paul's future. God says, I've got a plan. Every new convert, everybody who comes to faith, needs an obedient believer to disciple them from where they are to help them get to where God wants them to be. And you must say yes to God and obey God, even when you don't understand what God is saying, even when what God is doing doesn't make sense to you, even when what God is saying is contrary to what you think should be. Because yes, God, listen, requires a trust in God. And it requires a trust in God even when you can't see what God is doing. How do you trust what God is saying even when you can't see what God is doing? My late pastor, Dr. E.K. Bailey, would say you have to learn how to trust God's heart even when you can't see God's hand. Everyone under the sound of my voice, you saying yes to God makes you an instrument in the hands of God. And when you become an instrument in the hands of God, you can help somebody else become an instrument in God's hand. You have no idea how God can use you to change somebody's life. Can you imagine, just for a minute, if your Saul, God wanted to turn into his Paul, and the only thing standing in the way of that happening is your yes, God? Like, you have no idea what God can do if you just say yes to him and help other people to say yes to the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Here's the fourth and final thing if you're going to activate your yes, God. Number four, you need to realize your yes, God can help others say yes to God. Your yes, God can help others say yes to God. So Ananias, verse 17, went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Ananias took the command of God to go to Saul, to find Saul, and he took the initiative to find Saul. Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul didn't realize that he was looking for Jesus. He thought he was just looking for believers. And he didn't realize that Jesus identified with believers. And so it was as if Jesus said on the road to Damascus, "You looking for me? No, I'm looking for believers. Well, then you looking for me." But then Ananias takes the initiative to go find Saul. Watch this. He doesn't expect a blind man to find his way to him. He goes to find Saul. Somebody said, "What are you saying, Pastor?" We can't expect spiritually blind people to find their way to us when we can see and we can find our way to them. How many times do you require somebody spiritually blind to come to you to get help? And the Lord says, "I'm already telling you to go to them." Watch this. Ananias laid his hands on Saul. It was a touch of comfort. The text says he laid both of his hands on Saul. There was a sense of camaraderie that was created in that touch, because Paul needed to feel love and concern and care in action. Somebody in here, you have to be willing to do what you need to do to make that new believer feel God's love in a tangible way. Watch this. Ananias calls Saul brother. Somebody said, "Why is that significant?" Because once he accepted Christ, once he came face to face with Jesus, those who were his family would no longer be his family. And so now he had to be welcomed into a new family. Somebody help me in here today, because I need you to understand that when somebody comes to faith, it is at that moment that we embrace them and bring them into the family of God. They become at that point our brothers and our sisters in the faith. We welcome them into this family of believers. Paul gets baptized, ate some food, drank some water, regained his physical strength. And then watch what the text says. Verse 20, the text says that Paul preached immediately. He regains his eyesight. He regains his strength. And Paul is not playing, y'all. Like he just got saved. Holy Ghost just comes upon him. And the Bible says that Paul starts preaching. He starts preaching. He starts teaching in the synagogues. And he starts professing the new message that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Wait a minute. Folk looked at him and said, "Wait a minute, hold on, whoa, 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 whoa. Isn't that the same fella? No, that can't be the one we was hiding from. That's the fella that's been killing Christians in Jerusalem. And he's preaching." Yeah, not only is he preaching, but he stands as a living testimony to the power of God to change somebody's life. Verse 21, all who heard him were amazed. "Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem?" they asked. "And didn't he come to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests?" One of the things I'm grateful for are the real testimonies. See, some of y'all don't testify like you could because you sanitize your testimony. You don't want folk to know how bad you really were. You know what I mean? You'd be like, ooh, yeah, the Lord can change your life. The Lord changed my life. But you ain't telling from what. You know, you may testify, oh, yeah, the Lord delivered me from the hood. But you ain't telling nobody you was in the trap house. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to go but so far. You know, you be like, oh, yeah, I walked them streets. You ain't said, no, I stood on the corner. You ain't going to go that far. Amen. Mic check. 1, 2. Paul had a testimony. And his testimony came not only out of him saying yes to God, but because somebody who discipled him said, yes, God. And then the Bible says Paul grew in wisdom. Look at verse 22. Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. He got stronger and stronger. The more he said yes, the more he said yes, God, the stronger he got. Somebody today, God wants you to make this the year of yes, God, in your life. No more excuses. Nobody is allowed anymore to talk about what they should have done, what they could have done. God says, what you gonna do? What are you going to do now after knowing what I've told you to do? Are you gonna live now in the yes, God? Are you gonna say yes to your will? Are you gonna say, God, yes to your way? God, yes to your word. Yes, Lord, I'll be who you want me to be. Yes, I'll do what you want me to do. Yes, I'll go where you want me to go. I'm going to live in my yes. I'm going to say yes, Lord. I'm going to say yes from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Lord, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to give you a complete yes, not a partial yes. Not a sometime a yes. Not a almost a whole yes. No, I'm going to say yes, God. And I'm going to trust you and never doubt. I'm going to yield myself to you. And God, I'm going to try you. Because watch this. You've been doing it your way for as long as you've been doing it your way. How's that working out for you? And wherever you are doing it your way, I'm a witness that when you say yes, God, even if you can't see clearly the path, when you say yes, God, and you trust him, God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think. All it takes is for you to say yes. Yes, God. Doesn't make sense. That's all right. Yes, God. I'm afraid. That's okay. Yes, God. Doesn't make sense to me. God says, just say yes, God. God, I'm trying to figure it out. Don't wait till you figure it out. Because you may never figure it out. God says, just say yes and trust me. And watch God do what no other power can do. Father, we bless you today. I pray, God, that you would help this church family, those who are under the sound of my voice, to say yes. To say yes, God. Because God, here's what I know. We will never be who you have called us to be individually or who we can be corporately until we learn how to say, yes, God. We can't be the church that you want us to be, even if the pastor says, yes, God, when people in the pews are saying, no, God. We can't be who you want us to be if people in the pews are saying, yes, God, and you have a pastor who's saying, no, God. But when we are in concert with one another and we can say, yes, God, there's no limit to what you can do through us to help turn the world upside down by helping people turn their lives right side up. So we say yes today. Make 2025 and beyond the year of yes, God. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and give you the honor through it all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.